Welcome to another KPI podcast. I'm here today with Dave Traubert, president of Kansas Policy Institute. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's good to see you. Now, we've got an interesting topic today, something I'm a little familiar with from the old days when I used to work for KPI. We're going to talk today about school cash reserves, K-12. Can you just tell our listeners just a little bit of what is that?
Well, school districts operate out of as many as 30 different funds, and they work like your checkbook because it's on a cash basis. So if you put in more money each year than you spend, then the balance in that fund will increase. And every district or any entity needs a certain amount of carryover cash reserves. The question is, what's the right amount?
Yeah, and the numbers for that, I remember when I first discovered them back in 2009, and I can literally say discovered them because I found a transposition error in the Excel spreadsheet that Kansas Department of Education was keeping that showed that nobody was really looking at these numbers.
Right. Well, and they only published, as I said, there are roughly 30 funds. At that time, they only published, I think, four or five funds. And so legislators had no idea what was really going on. So when we discovered this a few years ago, at that point, school districts had $699 million in their operating carryover reserves. That doesn't count capital or debt service or any federal, just what they had in their collection of funds that are used for current year operating funds. And it was interesting when we found it because some school districts within the same week said, what? I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have any money. Other school districts said, well, we had that money, but it's all spent. And still other districts, said, well, we do have the money, but we're not allowed to spend it. And the reality was that the money was there and it was growing every year. And it's continued to grow. It's to this year, they started this year with about $860 million in their operating carryover reserves. Now, we went back to 2005 and saw that at that point, it was $458 million. So the difference is a little over $400 million that schools were given in prior years to educate students, and for whatever reason, they just didn't spend. They used it to increase their cash balances.
Yeah, I remember when the story first published, there was a lot of fancy footwork trying to explain what it was, and quite honestly, school districts trying to figure out what it meant and how to respond to media queries about it, and a lot of work by KASB, Kansas Association of School Boards, and KSDE trying to bring them up to speed, which to me is one of the fundamental issues. If the legislature, which approves most of this money, wasn't being made aware that it was there and piling up, if the districts themselves didn't understand what this money was doing and what was accessible and what wasn't, because there's limitations, certain federal funds you can't do things with and other types of limitations on it, that sort of speaks to another issue we'll talk about another time, which is the whole funding formula.
Right. I think what this really means, because especially when you know that some of these increases have come in funds like special education and bilingual and help for low-income kids, you know, certainly school districts are providing whatever service they think needs to be provided. And so when they have money left over and every year that balance goes up, that's a pretty clear indication that they're getting more money than they need to provide those services. And that goes directly to the issue of adequacy.
Right. And there's two issues that the schools generally talk about when it comes to funding. They talk about adequacy and equity. And this sort of speaks to both of those issues in a legal framework, doesn't it?
It could. I mean, certainly it does, I think, in adequacy. I think, you know, if the funding is being equitably distributed and there are still these wide disparities in what schools are spending, then that's a good indication that the state is providing more money than is needed to meet the adequacy test. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting. I wanted to read a quote from a story that I did back in 2011 when I spoke with then Speaker of the Kansas House, Mike O'Neill. We were talking about this very issue. And he said, so if we're distributing the money equitably, answer the question, why is there such disparity? To me, that's a fundamental issue. The public ought to be asking it. We ought to be asking it. That was in 2011, during the session in 11. That's 4 years ago, and we still haven't resolved this. And it looks like, from the data KPI has assembled, which comes directly from KSDE, that inequity in the amount of funds that are being built up has increased, as well as the total amount of the funding has increased.
It has, and I think that goes back to the fact that schools are getting more than they need. Now, I think where the disparity comes in is the funding is in a one-size-fits-none formula. And so some districts are getting a lot more than they might need in some cases, and others not quite as much more as they need. And it also would have something to do with whether a district is operating just a little bit inefficiently or very inefficiently. There's a lot of factors that can come into play here. The biggest argument now is schools saying, well, we need this money to manage operations. They claim that what they have today is what they happen to need in every single case to effectively manage cash flow and run their districts. But what we're finding is that, again, the facts don't support that claim.
Yeah, and why is it that some districts can operate with a much tighter margin of carryover and others can't?
That's a great question. In fact, we asked last few years, we've been asking in House and Senate Education Committees, if anyone recalls school districts ever coming in 2006 or 2007 or 2008 and saying, we don't have enough money in our cash reserves, and no one does, and they didn't. And we all know that school districts are not bashful at all about saying, we don't have enough of something. So we went back and looked at what they actually had back when they had $458 million, which, you know, they managed to manage cash flow and run their districts on a much lower number. So we looked at this. We calculated a carryover ratio. We wanted to see how much districts had in the bank at the beginning of the year as a percentage of that year's operating expense. And it did vary a great deal. On average, in 2006 school year, it was 11%. Well, the average now is up to 17%. But that belies a tremendous range from high to low. We're seeing, actually, there are dozens of districts who have traditionally managed with less than 10% carryover reserve, which begs the question, why do so many districts say they have a problem with more than 20% carryover reserve? It simply comes down to how good of a cash manager someone is or wants to be.
Right. And that gets, again, into the whole question of the school funding formula, which is so opaque and convoluted that very few people understand. And we'll talk more about that another time. Yeah, I was looking at the numbers that KPI has compiled, and it's really startling. In 2006, the schools that had less than 5% of a carryover ratio, in other words, percent of actual spending, is that correct?
Right. It's the carryover ratio is the cash dollars you had in the bank at the beginning of the year as a percentage of that year's actual spending.
So in 2006, 46 districts had less than 5%. In 2014, only 9 districts had less than 5%. And on the other end of the spectrum, in 2006, 9 districts had more than 20%, of a ratio of 20%. But by 2014, that number had grown steadily, and I do mean steadily. Every year it goes up a little bit more, except in the last few years it's gone up a lot. so that now, 2014, 92 of the state's districts have more than 20% carryover reserve.
Right. The trend is really eye-opening. If you look, if you combine the districts that had less than five and less, you know, so you look at less than 10, in 2006 through 2009, the majority of districts every year had less than 10% in carryover ratio. Since then, the majority, starting in 2011, the majority of districts have more than 20%.
Right.
That begs the question, if all these districts were able to operate just fine with less than 10%, why can't they do it today? And the answer is they can, because many districts still do operate with less than 10% carryover. And we're talking about districts that operate very similarly, that the dollars might be larger in one district or another, but their revenues come in at the same time, their outflows come at the same time. This is a simple matter of they can manage, and many districts do manage cash very well, and the rest of the districts don't.
Right. You know, the thing that gets to me about this, you know, from a kind of an everyman perspective, is this is money that the state and the local school district take by power of coercion. If I don't pay my property taxes, they'll take my house. But yet they're taking that money, and instead of using it, they're banking it. They're sitting on it and demanding more money. And it's not just that fact. It's also the fact that they're pushing the state to increase taxes, to take more of my money in a lot of different ways, so that they can continue to hold on to this money, when it looks to me, and a lot of other people, I would assume, that there's enough money sitting in these school accounts that if they would just spend down some of it, we wouldn't have to have an increase. We'd be able to accomplish the larger budgetary goals that Governor Brownback has set out, reducing the state income tax, hopefully eventually to zero. We'd go a long way toward accomplishing that if we would just get over this.
Yeah, you know, we calculated, we put a blog post up this week that showed that districts have at least $300 million of those reserves could be made available. And the way we did that was simply look at taking every district back to the same carryover ratio that they had in 2006. And again, no one had any problem managing cash, or at least they didn't complain about it, and they're not bashful about saying they have an issue. If they could do it then, if we took every district back to that level, it would save $320 million. Now, that's a one-time savings, but it would make a tremendous difference in balancing the budget now. But even if it wasn't a balanced budget issue, it's simply a matter of making good use of the money. This is money they received to operate districts and didn't need, and they need some basis. So we're saying, well, let's take them back to the level that they apparently had no problem with, and force some of that money to be spent. That $300 million could be spent down, and without the need of raising anyone else's taxes.
Right. Yeah, this is a frustrating issue for me, and probably because I know a little bit more about it than average citizen. And the numbers that you're quoting are really quite gentle on the school districts. I'm going to say conservative, but that word has been co-opted and misused so much that 300 odd million dollar number, that basically lets the schools have their perspective that says, no, we can't use this, no, we can't use that. It really doesn't get to some of the efficiency questions of some of these funding sources that remain locked away and inaccessible. And so there's larger sums of money there even. Now, here's, I think, one of the bottom line questions in it that a couple people have posed. If the state says to schools, you must spend this money, one of the fears is that the school districts are then just going to willy-nilly spend the money when they really don't need to, and then this whole carryover cash thing will become a completely different issue. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think, and it's a legitimate question. I think that school districts have, they could do that, and probably to some extent it would be interesting to go look at every school district's checkbook in May and June. and look at the purchases that are made toward the end of the year. I think right now that, especially while they're in the courts trying to sue people for more money, I don't think that that would happen. I don't think they would spend it down just because they were afraid of losing it. Because if they did that, then that's evidence that could be used against them in their lawsuit for adequacy. Because it clearly indicates, okay, we had the money. We, in fact, got more money than we needed in past years, and that's the source of this money. So I don't think that right now that would happen. I think what we'd like to see is the legislature treat excess carryover cash reserves the same as they already do for money that's left in the general fund. So if a district has, and this is part of the school funding formula, if a district has money left over in the general fund, that is deducted from next year's state aid. So whether it's to take it back to the ratio on a district-by-district basis, or there's a lot of different ways to look at it, maybe how much it's increased, but to take that amount and say, next year, your state aid will be reduced by this amount, which means you still have the resources because you're going to draw down what you have left over in the bank. That's the safest way to make sure that it's not just suddenly spent down and wasted frivolously. I don't think they would do that this year, because then that would probably put an end to their claim that they don't have enough money in the first place, since they've obviously had a lot sitting over in the bank they didn't need.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. That the way it's dealt with is going to be really important. What can people do who are aware of this issue, who want to know more or want to get the word out? KPI has a lot of resources for understanding this.
Sure, you can go to the blog. The KPI blog is at kansaspolicy.org, and you can read there. There's also a link there that takes you to kansasopengov.org, where you can see on a district-by-district basis what their carryover ratio has been each year. You can see the actual dollar amounts in each of the funds that every district has. But I think, you know, the first step is getting informed, getting the information, and then asking respectful questions of your district. If you have that money, you know, explain to me as a citizen, as a taxpayer, as a funder of your district, why you can't do what you did in the past. Why you did it then, why can't you do it now? How could you change your operations to do that? Because it certainly looks to me, if you believe it, when you look at the data, it looks to me like you have money that you didn't need in the past, and now might be a good time to use it.
Yeah, I think a key that you hit on there, Dave, is citizen involvement. I know when I was researching this information yesterday, I looked up my local district in Derby, and Derby has stayed at around or under about 9 or 10%. And I know, because I live there and I go to the meetings, citizens are pretty active about that, and the school board is on top of that issue. It's not just that issue, but they're pretty good about being responsive to the citizens. I've been to other school board meetings when I covered the school system statewide where that really can't be said. It's pretty common to go to a lot of meetings and you'll find people who are cheering the schools on, but you won't find people asking critical questions.
It is. Well, and it's intimidating if you don't have the information. In fact, we helped get a law passed last year that requires school districts to give their carryover reserve balance report to their school board members every year, that it has to be given to them. And it's a shame that you had to go to the extent of saying you will definitely inform your school board members, but that was a necessity.
Yeah, I think that points to another issue we've talked about in the past is, who do the school boards really work for? Who runs them? I think there's been a disconnect there. I think there's more of a sense, as with many levels of government, that the government functionaries say, well, it's my money, and you really don't have much say in it. And I think it's time for citizens to be a little bit more informed and a little bit more active and get out there for that. Well, thanks, Dave. Anything else you want to wrap up with?
No, I think we covered it well.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Again, if you want more information on this or any other issue about state government and what's happening in your state, kansaspolicy.org.